Peter City, Florida.
What did God do for you?
Well, Brother Shumrock, first of all, I came to one of the meetings, a sinner, needing a favor. And I came in, it was crowded, it was like it was around the tent. And it was that night you was anointing everybody in the building. And I said, well, I'm going to get anointed, you know. So I went on up, and it took me a long time to get to you. The devil tried his best to talk me out of it. I said, I'm going. If it killed me, I'm going. So you laid your hands in the oil that way. You didn't just, it just ran everywhere.
Yeah, we really put the oil on, folks.
It just ran all over everywhere. So I said, wow. So I was really afraid to wipe it off. I say, if it's going to help me, Lord, let it run in my mouth, in my eyes, let it run everywhere. I didn't care where it went. So on our way back home, we stopped by a hamburger place, and all of us went in. We was just as oily. And the people, they said, well, one guy, he said, I don't mean no harm, but why are y'all so greasy? I said, we went to a revival and the man of God anointed us in the name of Jesus. I said, we ain't wiping it off. We ate with the oil and everything running down. And so, here comes the healing part. And so that Saturday, I was browsing around in there. First of all, I had a problem with high blood pressure. And I was browsing around in there, and this man was there sitting, taking high blood pressure for 50 cents. You know, so I knew that God had did something for me. So I went up to him and he took my blood pressure and he said, he took it and he looked at me and took it again. He looked at me again. So I said, is anything wrong with it? He said, no, said, that's the thing. He said, lady, said, let me ask you something. I don't mean no harm. Said, how old are you? I told him my age. He said, do you mind if I take it again? I said, help yourself, ain't nothing wrong with it. And so he took it again. He said, lady, said, and all I can tell you is that it's just a miracle. It's a miracle, so you just don't see a blood pressure like this every day. You know, and I
bet you shouted in his ears, didn't
you? God, I said, Lord, thank you, Jesus, he healed me. I know he did, he healed me.
Give the Lord a big hand clap, everybody. God bless you, darling. Hallelujah. Come here, dear.
Praise.
What's your name?
Jerry Delgado.
And where are you from?
Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale. What did God do for you?
Oh, hallelujah. Many things, but two special things I want to tell the people about and all the believers here. My little boy is sitting back there in his chair, and in 1964, God gave us a miracle. They said he wouldn't live 12 hours.
But he's lived.
And they said he'd be blind and mentally retarded. He understands two languages.
Isn't that beautiful?
Spanish and English. Praise you, Jesus. he went to hear you in Lauderdale when you were there in the tent, and he listens to you every day on radio. And he wanted to come so badly.
I'm so glad you brought him. Praise God for those beautiful testimonies. Now let's enjoy the message from the Word of God. I am reading from the 8th chapter of Matthew, and I will use this as a text. He said unto them, in verse 26, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Let me go back just a couple more verses, if you will. When he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Maybe I better use that as a text. I kind of like that. But he was asleep. Here we have recorded in St. Matthew's Gospel this portion of Scripture that I have read in your hearing tonight, and to every one of you that are listening to this broadcast. You can be in the church and still not have faith. Now, you may not like that, but it's truth anyhow. After Jesus healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, and done his many wonderful works, he became weary. And the only place he could find rest was in a ship. And he went into the ship, and the disciples followed him. And while Jesus was sound asleep, all of a sudden a storm arose. The sea became violent. Any of you men ever been out to sea, you know what I'm talking about. I spent 3 years in the Navy, and I've been in some rough storms where you couldn't even walk topside. And that ship would toss and roll. But here in this particular scripture reading, it says the waves covered the ship. But Jesus was asleep. The disciples weren't. Now, if they would have been sleeping, they'd have been better off. But Jesus was asleep. He had that ability to ride the storm. You haven't found that ability yet. What am I talking about? I'm talking to you as a child of God. Just when Christ comes into your life and you begin to learn the scriptures and you begin to trust God, it seems like all hell breaks loose against you to try to disturb you and keep you from putting your faith to work. And in many instances, he has succeeded. I'm talking to you church folks now. Jesus knew how to use his faith, but the disciples didn't. In fact, Jesus said on this occasion to those men, "O ye of little faith, why are you so fearful?" And I want to dwell on those words. If you are going to learn how to put your faith to work, one thing you got to get rid of, fear. Let it sink in a little bit. Fear. Fear is diametrically opposed to faith. It is impossible for you to put your faith to work as long as fear is present. Impossible. In fact, I call fear faith in reverse. You can't drive your car in reverse and forward at the same time. Is that right? You got to throw it in gear. You're going back, you're going to put it in reverse. You cannot go forward and back at the same time, and it's impossible for you to be fearful and have faith. Now, if it's impossible for you to have fear and be void of faith, then it's the vice versa is the same. You cannot put your faith to work as long as fear is present. And when you put your faith to work, there is no fear. This is nothing but a trick of the devil to come into your life, and many of you now have your ship or your life covered with waves. Lord, you don't know what I'm going through, preacher. I'm telling you right now. My back is against the wall. Doctors say I'm going to die. I'm hanging at the end of the rope. Goody, I'm glad you're there. If your back's against the wall, you can't back up any further. Now you got to learn how to trust God where you are. When the doctor says there ain't no hope, I rejoice. Because if he gave you hope, you'd still be trusting in the arm of flesh. But now you're going to have to trust him when all hope is gone. You can release your faith. God will give you the miracle of your life when you learn how to put your trust in him. Raise your hands and shout, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Fear. Listen to me. God has not given us the spirit of fear. You mean fear is a spirit? That's what God said. I didn't. The Word of God says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Another place in the Scriptures it says fear hath torment. Therefore, I can deduct that fear is a tormenting spirit that is designed to plague you as a child of God to keep you from putting that faith to work. And you're going to have to get rid of the fear. Before you can employ your faith, you've got to get rid of fear. Now, there are definite fears, and then there are indefinite fears. Different types. Some people are afraid of heights. Some people have a fear of being closed in. The medical world calls it claustrophobia. Some people say, Brother Shambach, I'm afraid, but I don't know what I'm afraid of. That's an indefinite fear. Irregardless of what kind of fear it is, there's two ways to get rid of it. Perfect love casts out fear, or since it's a spirit, God has given his ministers and his believers power over all the works of the devil. And if it is a spirit that is plaguing you in your nervous system, all I got to do is lay hands on you and say, you foul spirit of fear, loose here in the name of Jesus. And it's got to turn you loose at that precise moment, since it is a spirit. And I feel led of God tonight, on the second night of this revival campaign, to lay my hands on every one of you people that feel as though you are bound with a spirit of fear. And if I can get rid of that spirit of fear that is plaguing your life, then you'll be able to put your faith to work and step out on his word and say, yes, Lord, by your stripes I am healed. You'll be able to get up out of the wheelchair and start walking. You'll be able to throw the crutch down and start running. You'll be able to do what you couldn't do before, because your fears are gone and faith has come alive, and you are the recipient of the greatest miracle of your life. Everybody raise your hands and shout praise the Lord. Let me read it to you from the book of St. Matthew, if you will, please. He said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Let me talk to you a little bit about this. Oh, ye of little faith. There are various kinds of faith that is mentioned in the scriptures. On one occasion, Jesus said to his disciples, why is it you have no faith? On this occasion, he said, oh, ye of little faith. A Roman soldier that don't even belong to the church. You church folks are going to get mad at me now. It's always the church folks Jesus had trouble with. Just because you in the church don't mean you got faith. This captain in the Roman army came to Jesus one day and said, Lord, I have a servant at home that's sick. Why, Jesus said, I'll go home with you and heal him. He said, oh, no, you don't. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. I don't belong to your church. But he said, I've been watching you. You've been telling them blind spirits to come out and blind eyes were open. You've been telling the lame to walk and they'd start walking. He said, Lord, I'm a man under authority. I'm a captain. I've got men under me. I tell one to go and he goes, another one to come and he comes, and another one to do this and he does it. He respects my word. He said, I've been watching you laying hands on them sick and those lame, commanding them to get up. You're giving them the word. He said, Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. Stand right here where you are and speak the word only, and my servant will be made whole. Wow. He knocked Jesus back about 10 paces. And Jesus said, great is thy faith. What kind of faith did the disciples have? Oh, ye of little faith. What kind of faith does the centurion captain have? Great. And he don't even belong to the church. Don't get mad at me, preacher. Say amen, somebody. He said, I have never found such faith even in the household of Israel. He said, whatever you believed in your heart, it is done. Then there's another realm of faith called perfect faith. I don't have time to get into that today, but I want to get into this aspect of that faith. Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? The whole generation, every one of us know what fear is. Fear is a destructive force. The devil may never be able to get you to take a drink of liquor. The devil may never be able to get you to commit adultery or to commit other sins of the flesh. But if he can just cause you to be fearful, he got you tied up. Don't look at me like that. Some of you church folks look down your nose at other types of sin, and here you all bound up by fear, you're afraid to go to church at night. Come on, shout amen, somebody. Fear is a tormenting thing that'll drive you insane if you don't get rid of that thing. Fear, a tormenting spirit. I was preaching in Denver, Colorado. And I'll never forget a gentleman that came to me and he said, Brother Schoenbach, I have a definite fear. He said, man, I can't ride no elevator. And he said, I can get in the elevator, but don't shut the door. Shut that door and I'm going to put an exit somewhere else. And I laid hands on him that night in the name of Jesus, and all I said was, spirit of fear. I put my hand right on the nervous center right here. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you, go! And that quick. I looked at him and I said, brother, I command you to go outside of this building and get in a taxi cab, go to the tallest hotel in town, and take a ride on the elevator and come back. Yeah, I did. I had about 500 people I had to pray for that night. I knew he had time to do it. And before I got done, here he comes back in, screaming, hollering, jumping up and down. It works! It works! It works! He come up and took the microphone and told me how he went to the biggest hotel in Denver, Colorado. Went in that elevator and said, top floor. And the door shut, and there was no fear. Woo! He got up to the top floor, and the man said, here you are. He said, take me back down again. Went down, he said, take me up again. Take me down, take me up. He said, there I was riding that thing. No fear. He said, Schoenbach, I want you to know the thing works. The spirit is gone, and I am free. Free at last. Everybody raise your hands and shout, praise the Lord. Tormenting spirit of fear. And do you know fear is contagious? You mamas know what I'm talking about. You mamas can be home at that ironing board doing some ironing. The kids are playing on the floor. The scene is peaceful. Husband working. You're there with all them kids and TV's on. And all of a sudden, one of them little ones will say, what's that? And you freeze in your tracks. Am I right? And you don't even have to hear it. In fact, you don't even hear it. Cold chills run up and down your spine. You say, what's what? I hear a noise at the window, mama. Oh! How many of you know what I'm talking about? Oh, Lord, this is awful. It's a contagious thing. It was nothing but a little limb of a tree out there blowing. You know what I mean? But because somebody put a thought in your mind, and that's exactly what the devil does. Come on, shout amen, somebody. You feel a little pain around your fifth rib on the left side, and right away the devil will say, heart trouble. And you'll say, yeah. Come on, shout amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Some of you ladies been looking in that mirror at your face for 30 years, and you've been looking at that same little old pimple, and it never bothered you until somebody said, did you ever have that examined? No. Why, you better. You know, I had a friend once, and they had it examined, and it was cancer. Oh! Come on, shout amen. Some fear. I want you to know the devil is subtle, he is busy, and he'll drop thoughts in your mind, not just to give you the fear, but to paralyze your faith. If you're going to put your faith to work, you got to get rid of your fear. And tonight, I'm going to lay hands on you and command that spirit loose here in the name of Jesus. And God is going to set you free. Raise your hands and shout, praise the Lord, somebody. Hallelujah. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Beloved, I want you to know it's possible for you to have these waves all over your house. He said, when you go through the water, it will not overflow you. When you go through the fire, you shall not be burned. Why? Because he said, I am by your side. I will never leave you nor forsake you, even to the end of the age. You've got no business to be afraid of what the devil can do to you. You have a Savior that lives on the inside of you. He never slumbers or never sleeps. Why should I be afraid when I'm serving a living Christ? Shout amen, somebody. Hallelujah. There is something for you to do, as well as something for God to do. But I want to try to encourage you tonight
to tell you that there is no defeat for the child of God. Hear me, Christian. Many of you have been overcome. Some of you have been overcome by sin. Some of you have been overcome by the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the pride of the lust of the eyes. Some of you have been overcome by the world. And some of you have been overcome by the devil. Now, I know you don't like to hear this, but let me tell it to you anyway. God never intended for you or for me to be overcome, but God has ordained it that we should be an overcomer. We can overcome sin. We can overcome the flesh. We can overcome the devil. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can you raise your hands and shout praise the Lord? In another place in the scriptures, it says, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Now, how in the world can you be more than a conqueror? More than conquerors through Christ. And this is the kind of faith. After you hear, you receive faith, then you act on faith, and then God says, there won't be any man be allowed to stand before you all the days of your life. Mm-mm. This thrills me, beloved. Just to know that the devil can't touch your life. Oh, I know. I know what some of you say. Oh, but Brother Shambach, you don't know how powerful the devil is. I sure don't. Especially when I know my elder brother, Jesus, put his foot right on the devil's neck. Rendered him powerless and helpless. Put him in the position of being defeated. Somebody says to me, yes, but Brother Shambach, the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. I said, read on. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Woo! Does that make you want to holler? And then you always have the saints that'll come around and say, well, Job had boils. Read the last chapter of Job and you'll find out that God healed him of them boils. And God gave him a double portion of everything that he lost. Can you shout amen, somebody? I've come to tell you, you're a conqueror. God has given you the necessary equipment whereby you can put the devil where he belongs. Under your feet. You're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ your Lord. Hallelujah. Only be thou strong. This is what Paul said to the church at Ephesus. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against wicked spirits in high places. He said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He said, put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your loins girt about with truth. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And above all, take the shield of faith. The shield of faith. The shield of faith. And with that shield of faith, you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And having done all, you'll be able to stand. Can you raise your hands and shout amen, somebody? Be strong. Be strong. You say, how in the world can I be strong? What is your strength? The joy of the Lord is your strength. You let the devil steal your joy, and he'll knock you down. He'll put you into the corner. He'll walk all over you. But if you maintain your joy, you go ahead and learn how to praise God. It'll move you out of the hospital. It'll move you out of the sick room. It'll put money in your pocket. God said, I'll bless you going in. I'll bless you coming out. I'll bless your basket and your store. I'll make you the head and not the tail if you walk in my ways and keep my commandments. Oh, hallelujah. Conqueror. God said, no man shall be able to stand before you. Now listen to me, beloved. I'm not promising you a bed of ease. I'm not promising you a bed of roses. Joshua had to stand before 31 kings. Now I want you to know, this is when God tells you that you're going to go through the fire. You're going to go through the water. But I come to tell you, the battle is not your battle. The battle is the Lord's battle. You've just got to maintain the joy of the Lord. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, even to the end of the age. Can you shout yes? You're more than a conqueror. I come to tell you, you're going to have battles, but the devil is not going to conquer you. Jesus already gave you the victory. Hallelujah. He says we go from faith to faith, from victory to victory. Hallelujah. He says when you go through the water will not overflow you. And when you go through the fire, you shall not be burned. Why? Because he said, I'm by your side. God said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. This is the greatest promise that God's given to every one of his children. This is a promise that you have, beloved. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, even to the end of the age. Oh, I'll tell you, sometimes it feels like he's not there. You can't feel him. When you're out there on the job rubbing elbows with them demon-possessed people, all you can feel is them demon spirits. But I want you to know, he's right there by your side. Even when you can't feel him, he's there. Can you shout amen? He said, I'll never leave you. When you're in a sick room, he's right there with you. When your back is against the wall, when your money's gone from your purse, I want you to know, Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Hallelujah. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He's here right now, and he's here to minister to your need. Hallelujah. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. But be strong and of a good courage. That means don't have any fear. Don't be afraid of what the devil can do to you. But I want you to rejoice that God is by your side. Hallelujah! Nothing but victory for the child of God. And tonight is your night for a miracle.